Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
We are already in the fourth week of our new message series for the new year. We've been reflecting together that while so much of life is currently out of our control and just plain out of control, we still have agency, we still have autonomy, we still have much that we can control. While it's very tempting to focus our energy and attention on what's been taken away from us, we have the ability to follow our own agenda under our own authority. And I believe the people, the organizations, the businesses, and the churches that grasp this truth are precisely the ones who will survive and thrive through and beyond this COVID crisis. Failing to hold on to this truth could very well bring higher levels of doubt, depression, and other bad stuff too. We've already noted this has been called our circle of concern and our sphere of influence. All of us have a circle of concern and a sphere of influence. Our circle of concern is as big as we want it to be. But if I focus too much of my thought and attention on concerns that I can do nothing about, it is going to inevitably lead to fear and frustration. It's going to leave me helpless. On the other hand, if I focus more and more on my sphere of influence, I'm going to be emotionally stronger and healthier and more successful and effective at what I set out to do. Nobody is going to give you your life back. You have to take it back. You have to be proactive. You can't wait for this crisis to go away. You have to step confidently into the new year, and that's what this series is all about. The question we've been asking, and hopefully at this point answering, is where do I start? Where do I start? And the short answer is priorities. Be proactive with your priorities. And that can be a very helpful exercise. It can also be a solidly spiritual exercise. Faith sees that you can set priorities inspired by your belief in God, ideally in a community of believers who can support and encourage you. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how our identity, the way we view ourselves, impacts our priority. And we talked about the benefits of anchoring our identity in Christ anchoring our identity in Christ. In Christ, we have the identity of beloved sons and daughters of the Most High God, which means we don't have to pursue power or popularity or anything else to prove our worth. In fact, we have nothing to prove. We have worth because we belong to God in Christ. Last week, we looked at setting the priorities for our life with God's counsel, with God's wisdom. Our Heavenly Father, it turns out, wants to give us His wisdom and share His counsel in setting our life priorities. He wants to partner with us. Our role in that partnership is, first of all, to listen. So our homework last week was to identify scripture quotes that speak to each of our priorities. Scripture that provides insight and inspiration when it comes to pursuing particular priorities. So we put some verses up on our website to help guide you if you wanted to undertake that exercise. If you missed it or want to take another look at on it, it's still there, as well as all the past messages of this series too. Check it out and share it with a friend. Today I'd like to talk briefly about the most helpful mindset. The most helpful mindset to develop for approaching and pursuing or even just thinking about your priorities. And then we're going to give you a simple assignment that can help you put this mindset into action. To do it, we're looking at a passage that comes at the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark. As Mark begins to tell us the story of Jesus, here's pretty much where he starts. After John, that's John the Baptist, had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the Gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So John the Baptist is arrested for speaking out against the king, King Herod. John the Baptist's job was to prepare the way for Jesus. Once he's imprisoned, his ministry is effectively at an end. So Jesus knows it's time for him to get started, for him to get to work. So he begins preaching and teaching. And his basic message, his core teaching, he gives to us right up front. It comes down to this: repent and believe in the gospel. Repent. Repent can sound like one of those churchy church words, but it isn't meant to be. Repent is just about a change of thinking that leads to a change in behavior, that leads to a change in direction. Repent means to simply change your direction. When it comes to living our priorities, we tend to experience drift and distraction. We don't mean to be distracted, we don't mean to drift, but it happens. We start spending our time and our money, we invest our energy and attention on things that just aren't important. They don't take us where we want to go. Binge watching on Netflix, hanging out on social media hours at a time, impulse buying on Amazon. The list could go on and on and on. We're easily distracted and tend to drift away from our priorities. You know, some people don't want to talk about priorities, much less sit down and reflect on them, because they're afraid they won't live up to their priorities. So let me dispel you of that fear. You won't. If you undertake the exercise that this series proposes, you will fail. Sooner or later, you will fall and fail. And you don't have to be sad, and that doesn't make you bad. It just makes you human. It means that from time to time, you will need to repent and change your direction. Life is a journey, and from time to time, we need course corrections. All of us do. Me too. What we're talking about are course corrections, and that's what the gospel, in part, is all about. The gospel is the good news that God still loves you, even though you're currently going in the wrong direction. The good news, the better news, is that God is working to get your attention to tell you that you're going in the wrong direction, as well as offering you the grace and favor to course correct. Maybe you've neglected priorities in your life, like marriage or family, physical fitness or finances, your job and professional work, your schoolwork. Repenting is rethinking those priorities, reordering them, and reinvesting in them. But it's also believing in God's goodness and grace to start moving in the right direction, to heal your marriage and strengthen your family, to get out of debt, to get in shape, to rebuild your career, to reawaken your interest in your work. The story goes on. Mark continues, as he passed by the sea, as Jesus passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. The Sea of Galilee played a huge role in Jesus' public ministry. It's actually more of a large lake than what we would think of as a sea. It's just 7 miles wide and 13 miles long. The Sea of Galilee was vitally important to the economy of that region and would have been a place of bustling activity daily. Simon Peter, and Andrew were a part of this economy. Look what happened. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they abandoned their nets and followed him. They abandoned their nets. To abandon their nets might seem like a fairly selfless thing for them to do, since their nets represented their livelihood. Maybe in a certain sense, it was selfless. But then again, there was plenty in it for them too. An invitation to become the disciple of a celebrity rabbi, which is what Jesus was at this point, was pretty flattering. So maybe they weren't being all that selfless after all. In any case, they left behind their nets. They left behind their nets and followed Jesus because they believed that following Jesus was a job that superseded their job as fishermen. From here on out, they would be Christ followers first and then fishermen. So here's one lesson for your life priorities. And I am not saying you should quit your job. Please do not quit your job, especially if you work here at church. But it is worth it to prioritize following Jesus above your job. And then, and this is huge, then when you look at your job, you look at the other areas of your life and your other priorities, you can see them, you can approach them actually precisely as ways in which you follow Jesus. We don't follow Jesus in one area of life, but live the rest of our lives separated from him. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Too many Catholics do that. And I don't mean to be critical of anyone, I don't, but it's true. They're just punching their card when it comes to the sacraments and everything else about all of this is irrelevant to their lives and who they are. Jesus is your life, and following him should get translated into every area of your life. You are a follower of Jesus at work and in your career, at school and among your friends. You are a follower of Jesus as a mom or a dad, as a husband or wife. You are a follower of Jesus in how you manage your finances or take care of your home. Even more, I could say, I follow Jesus precisely by being a great dad. I follow Jesus precisely by being a loving spouse. I follow Jesus by being a valued employee, a hardworking student, a loyal friend. I follow Jesus by managing my finances well, by caring for my home. All of your life priorities could be, should be, expressions of following the Lord. And that's definitely one lesson in this story. Here's another. he walked along, Jesus walked along a little further and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat, mending their nets. Then he called them, so they left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. James and John are fishermen like Peter and Andrew. But what we also know about them, that apparently was not true of Peter and Andrew, is that they're not just laborers, they're employers. They don't just have a job, they have a business. And having employees suggests their business was successful. So they not only walk away from the means of their livelihood, they walk away from their success. Why would they do that? Only one reason. They're pursuing a greater opportunity. They recognize becoming Christ followers is their greater opportunity. So they prioritize it above what is merely a good opportunity. You know, priorities require discernment, choices, carrying on with some things, leaving other things behind. James and John leave their business. They leave their success. Peter and Andrew leave their jobs. They leave their nets. What's the net you need to abandon? The success you need to surrender. What's the good thing you need to let go of? A hobby you spend way too much time on. A habit you know you need to quit. A point of pride that actually hurts your heart. It might be a possession you prize above people. A relationship that's fun but toxic. An indulgence you would do so much better off avoiding. What's a good thing that you need to let go of in order to reprioritize? If you're unsure if you need help or want to go deeper, here's your homework assignment for this week. So far, we've been looking at this topic from about 60,000 feet. How about if we get closer to it this week? How about if we create what we're going to be calling an ideal week? An ideal week based on your priorities. And by ideal week, I don't mean the kind of week that's all about sleeping in every day and partying at night. I don't mean that kind of week. Your ideal week is the week you would have if you could control, which you can't, but if you could control 100% of your time to really pursue your real priorities without any excuses, distractions, or drift. An ideal week. It's just a tool to pursue priorities. What can your priorities mean specifically in this week ahead when it comes to how you schedule your time, spend your money, expend your energy and attention? We put together some resources on the website. Check it out today. Think about it. What's the good thing that is actually getting in the way of the great thing, the most important thing that God wants to do in your life this year?